Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden's officially going for four more years, announcing his re-election bid today for 2024.
It's time to finish the job. Finish the job.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy has more on how voters are taking the news.
Currently age 80, Joe Biden is the oldest man to serve as president, and he'd be 86 by the end of a second term. A new CBS News poll shows a majority of Democratic-leaning voters believe Mr. Biden should run again, though 45% say he shouldn't.
The president says he was inspired to run again because he says Republicans are threatening America's personal freedoms. And his biggest rival right now is responding.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Former President Trump bashed President Biden in a statement, referring to his administration as a failure. He pointed to issues that include inflation, immigration, foreign policy, crime, and education, and said, quote, "It is almost inconceivable that Biden would even think of running for re-election."
Entertainment and civil rights legend Harry Belafonte has died. Here's CBS's Steve Kathan.
His albums of calypso music were chart toppers in the 1950s. Films like Island in the Sun made him a star.
One of the most important fights is against tradition. This island is shackled with traditions.
But you can't tell Belafonte's life story without mentioning his social activism. It led the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to seek his help.
And I told him at the end of that meeting that I would be in his service.
Belafonte died from congestive heart failure. He was 96. In Sudan, CBS's Imtiaz Taieb tells us fighting continues despite a ceasefire.
Near constant gunfire continues to echo across the Sudanese capital, and heavily armed fighter jets can be seen streaking low across the Khartoum skyline as civilians, including several thousand foreign nationals, remain caught in the crossfire.
New rules set to take effect this week in Missouri will severely restrict gender-affirming care for transgender people of all ages, including adults. Kara Engelhart is among a group of attorneys trying to fight to block it.
This is not based on anything. It's just a drastic escalation of attacks on gender-affirming care and now creeping into the adult realm.
At least 10 states have passed similar measures for those under 18. And Japan says it lost contact today with a spacecraft that was moments away from touching down on the moon. The 7-foot lander was carrying a mini lunar rover and may have crashed in its 30-foot descent. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. A number of bills up for a vote in the Wisconsin Assembly today would mean Wisconsinites would get fewer unemployment benefits and face stricter qualification requirements. This comes after 3/4 of state voters approved a non-binding ballot question saying they believe able-bodied adults should have to look for work to get government assistance that happened during the spring election. Currently, people who get unemployment in Wisconsin are already required to look for work 4 times a week. Kia and Hyundai owners in Racine beware of a growing number of car thefts. That's according to the Racine Police Department, which put out an advisory for those car owners. They say there's been a big uptick in thefts, particularly for the Kia Forte, Soul, and Sorenta, as well as the Hyundai Elantra, Sinatra, and Accent. Those owners should consider an anti-theft device like the club or parking somewhere that has surveillance. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable healthcare without judgment. And everyone deserves a healthcare provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive healthcare services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're in company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents. Hey, Luke, you can't hear me. We got you back.
There we go.
Appreciate you. Oh, we heard you so loud, so clear.
So clear. Perfect. Glad to hear it. Well, folks, welcome to Dueling Tangents. Apologize. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, here broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and so many more terrific radio stations across the state of Wisconsin, part of the Civic Media Radio Network, the Shaw in Waukesha, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and so many more terrific stations around the network. Check out civicmedia.us to learn more about our growing radio network. And it's a busy Tuesday around here at Civic Media. We've got a lot of news to keep an eye on. And we will be joined on Dueling Tangents by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up at 2:30 to talk recent comments from the state's senior senator at a Milwaukee Press Club event earlier this week, along with the Milwaukee Bucks dropping the ball last night. Had a chance to tie the series 2-2, two games apiece, failed to do that. So we'll get into those topics and more with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up at 2:30. But between now and then, I've got Dueling Tangents in my head, and I would love to hear from the listening audience, and you, Evan, as well, your thoughts on some of these tangents, because biggest news of the day, headline of the day, President Joe Biden announcing he is officially running for re-election in 2024. Want to hear your thoughts on that, 844-967-2789. Evan, you surprised? You shocked? What are your thoughts?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not happy about it.
You're not happy about
it. I'm not sad or angry about it either.
You're apathetic about it? What are you feeling?
I feel some kind of way.
You feel some kind of way. Hard to describe it, though.
It is.
It's not happy. It's not sad. It's not mad. But you feel.
We have a chance here. I don't know. He's a nice man. He's a really nice man.
He's a really nice man. That is a fair assessment of the president, I believe. I think he's done a very good job with the situation that he's had throughout the first 2.5 years now. About not quite, just over 2 years. Honestly, time is one of those things that just keeps flying by, but it feels a bit like it's been longer than that. A lot of bipartisan compromises that he made. There were a lot of historic investments that he made in the country as well with just Democratic support in the most recent Congress. So if you've got thoughts on President Joe Biden's announcement for re-election, we'd love to hear them. 844-967-2789. I've also got some thoughts on the U.S. Supreme Court. And we've been getting more and more headlines out of ethical questions about the U.S. Supreme Court. So when do you believe there's time to reform the country's highest court? The changes that would be necessary. Looking through the quick history of the Supreme Court earlier today and preparing to jump on the air, the size of the court changed about half a dozen times throughout the 19th century. And it hasn't changed since then. It was threatened to in the 20th century. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt threatened to pack the court, his court packing plan to try to make sure that the New Deal legislation went through. But it never actually changed size. Our Supreme Court has had 9 justices on it since the 1800s. And we've got some headlines making me question, is it time to adjust that again? There was a lot of different things proposed during the Trump administration and in the early on in the Biden administration about changes to the court. I want to hear your thoughts on that as well. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We got the news of the day. President Joe Biden announcing his re-election campaign. I want to hear your thoughts on that. And if you've got a tangent or two on the Supreme Court, I would love to take those as well. Up first this afternoon, let's go to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, what's on your mind this Tuesday?
Hey, Luke, it was nice meeting you at the Brewers game on Friday night.
Yeah, we were glad you were able to make it out there, Stephen. Did you enjoy the seats?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are primo seats you guys got out there. So I got a tangent on the Supreme Court. Not so much about Joe Biden running. We knew I had a pretty good feeling he was going to run. And based on what I see coming out of the Republican side, he'll probably win again. I don't see a Republican beating him. But I got to say this. I definitely do think that we need to make the Supreme Court bigger because whether we like it or not, everything's politicized these days. And the fact that laws are being, you know, decided by conservatives and liberals on the Supreme Court, I think if that's the way it's going to fold out, which is how it seems, we need to have equal representation on the Supreme Court. And that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that opinion, Stephen. And I believe throughout the history of the court, it's an interesting read for people nowadays to say, act like it was always a nonpartisan entity. The creation of the judiciary and the way that the U.S. Constitution doesn't specify a number of seats on the U.S. Supreme Court. It conveniently leaves it out. Maybe for the legislature, Congress, to decide. Maybe because they knew it was a living document that would see changes over time, and we wouldn't always be a nation of 13 states, that we would become more than that. Maybe they left it open for the politics of the day to determine how the judiciary should look, what it was formed by. And the fact that it changed so many times throughout the 1800s, went from 6 to 5, back to 6 to 7 to 9, threats of 10, threats of 13, but have stayed at 9 is interesting. And the fact that we haven't changed it in more than 120-some years, I find interesting as well, and I appreciate the phone call, Stephen. 844-967-2789, if you've got thoughts on the Supreme Court. And the reason it's on my mind, we've been seeing a lot of ProPublica reporting, a lot of reporting in general about Clarence Thomas's actions since being appointed to the court, the friendship that he has forged and nurtured with Harlan Crow, a Dallas businessman, after being appointed to a lifetime seat on the nation's highest court. We've seen lots about that. According to reporting over at, this one's Bloomberg, was noted, finding it over at Business Insider earlier today, Clarence Thomas, in defending his relationship, has referred many times, well, there was no business that the the Crows business had before this the Supreme Court. He wouldn't be messing his friendships with the business of him being a Supreme Court justice. It just wouldn't happen. But strangely enough, this headline over at Business Insider, Clarence Thomas didn't recuse himself from a 2004 appeal tied to Harlan Crowe's family business per Bloomberg. Strange. And this is the first instance that we've seen. We've seen a lot of reporting come out since that initial ProPublica piece talking about the super yacht trips that Harlan Crowe would take Clarence Thomas on that were not disclosed on legal forms that Supreme Court justices are required to fill out and disclose. But this piece, Justice Clarence Thomas didn't recuse himself from a 2004 appeals case, even though the company being sued was part of the real estate empire run by Harlan Crowe, the GOP mega donor, who has showered Thomas with lavish trips starting in 1997 and more recently bought Thomas's childhood home, according to Bloomberg. But the reason why I think maybe it's time we need to change the entire Supreme Court is because Clarence Thomas isn't the only Supreme Court justice now under question. We are also getting reporting, this one over at Politico earlier today, with the headline, Law Firm Head Bought Gorsuch-Owned Property. The Supreme Court justice did not report the identity of the purchaser whose firm has had numerous cases before the court. So now we're getting the details out of a story that of a piece of property. Before he was appointed to this lifetime appointment to the nation's highest court, Neil Gorsuch lives out in Colorado, had a piece of property in Colorado he co-owned with two other individuals. They had an LLC or some kind of legal entity put together to own it. Had the property listed in 2015, 2 years before getting confirmed to the nation's highest court. 9 days after, 9 days after being appointed to the Supreme Court, all of a sudden this property was sold. And Neil Gorsuch didn't identify who bought the property on, again, the tax filings that have spaces for this. Evan, do you ever, when you're doing your taxes, do you double check to make sure, oh, I filled out all the proper forms, the boxes, made sure everything was checked?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I'm in that, you know, I'm in that the higher percentile for the those at risk of getting audited, you know, as a...
As a lower...
A non-affluent. No, nothing like that. But yeah, no,
non-affluent. I love how you put that. Non-affluent, yeah, tax filer.
It's no big deal.
The backbone, the regular working guy, more subject to IRS audits than the wealthiest among us. It's very interesting, Evan, that it was, though, 9 days after he was confirmed, this is reading from the Politico piece, by the Senate for a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, the then circuit court judge got one, referring to a buyer for this property. The chief executive of Greenberg Traurig, one of the nation's biggest law firms with a robust practice before the high court. Gorsuch owned the property with two other individuals. It is insane because he's just leaving. And when it came to disclosing who the buyer was, the buyer being a large player in one of the nation's largest law firms that brings business before the country's highest court, conveniently just left that part blank on the tax form of who purchased the property from Gorsuch. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Want to hear your reactions. President Joe Biden announcing his intent to run for re-election in 2024. And do you think it's time for some changes to the U.S. Supreme Court? Want to hear those thoughts. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 44. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 50. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
I know you got to be frustrated. I can taste it.
They taste like burning.
When you ask. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Got Evan on the board. You on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Asking your reactions to the announcement this morning through a campaign video. President Joe Biden running for re-election in 2024. You've got thoughts. We want to hear them. 844-967-2789. And I think it's about time we start having a conversation about what reforming the U.S. Supreme Court could look like. And is it time to do it? Want to hear your thoughts on that as well. 844-967-2789. We got Peggy calling in from Brooklyn. Peggy, what's on your mind today?
The Supreme Court should not be able to change any laws whatsoever unless they approve it by 100% across the board. That's number one.
That's
number
your suggestion two, for changes? They got to be unanimous in their decisions?
Yep, across the board. And I'm sorry, I stood behind Joe Biden, but he is not going to make it, you guys.
What makes you say that, Peggy? Hand,
there's not a single young person under age 30 that told me they would vote for him. Not one. And I've talked to probably about 70. They said, we can't do it. He's too old. And I said, well, and they said, and he hasn't done major things that they felt he should have done that he promised. And they're not going to vote for him. And we're going to end up with a split ticket. And then the Republicans are going to win.
What if it comes down
to... No matter who they run.
Yeah. What if it comes, for example, Trump and Biden again? You know,
you think in a rematch, Peggy, the young people are going to sit out Trump v. Biden?
I don't think it'll be Trump. I think the Republicans are smart enough not to go there.
I don't know about that one, Peggy. What leads you to believe it's going to be somebody else than Trump? All signs right now point that it's going to be...
There's too many Republicans out there that are saying, can't do this again.
But was that not the problem, Peggy? Was that not the problem in 2016 when all the Republicans said they didn't want Trump? Trump was not the favorite out of the crowded field, but because of the way that the Republican primaries work, winner take all, Trump was able to have the 30% core base that he had and take that to the finish line in 2016. Don't you think if there's that many crowded field again of Republicans here in 2024, Trump's going to be able to run away with the same strategy?
No, because I don't think he's going to get 30% this time. I think he's going to get something, but not 30%. But Biden is not what the American people need right now. I think he did a good job this time around with all the bull he had to put up with, but he is too old, and that's if he even makes it that far. Mainly because of his health, but he, you guys, come on. We got to wake up, Democrats.
I appreciate the phone call, Peggy. I see, in 2020, I was skeptical.
me too.
But in 2020, I was skeptical because I thought President Biden, was a little too old, yeah. and that he was running on a message that he could unify the country. And I was hesitant to believe it. I was like, oh, okay, bipartisanship is great in name, but it's hard in practice.
It was nonsense.
And for the last 2 years, President Joe Biden has shown that bipartisanship and results, he can get done. He's shown it. And so I'm a little bit more skeptical of Peggy's stance now. I think that young people, as we've seen since the Dobbs decision last summer, are fired up. Doesn't matter. Governor Tony Evers isn't the spring chicken here in Wisconsin, but young people propelled him to a 3.5% win back in November. And I don't know.
Yeah, maybe these kids just roll out of bed and walk to the polls right outside their dorms.
No, I mean, they're harder voters to convince to vote, but voting is a habit. And when you start to do it, you continue to do it. And so I hope that young people will continue to be voters, but appreciate your phone call, Peggy. If you've got another take, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. We got Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, what's on your mind this Tuesday afternoon?
Hi, guys. I'm looking at the both sides, the American news and everything, and I'm looking at the Russian news, and I'm looking at the Biden and his international relationship, the mess out of the Ukraine. I mean, this is ridiculous. This shouldn't be ever happening, that he supported it. I do like him, actually. Even if he's going to go for a second time, although I'm questioning at the same time, don't we have anybody younger? I mean, we reserve ourselves to geriatrics, basically. We're the whole party of Democrats. What's going on? We don't have anybody?
I don't think there's not a case there, Karina, that there's nobody else out there. But nobody else is going to run if Biden's running. A fractured primary like that historically has shown if you are the party in power and somebody runs against an incumbent president, you almost always, I believe, historically speaking, always lose the presidency then. So there's some back and forth about whether or not there's practicality there in the politics. But also, I think the message of finish the job, the investments that were made throughout the American Rescue Plan, throughout the Inflation Reduction Act, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the first common sense change that we've made on gun laws in 30 years, the chips manufacturing bill. There's been so much done in 2 years that I don't know if we necessarily need to say, why isn't there a better alternative? That's a lot of good things to talk about, Karina.
Yes, but look, if God forbid something happens to him, and I'm sure he doesn't look like he's about to die. He doesn't look like demented or anything like that. I mean, there are some old people things, but who does not have things like that? But I really, I'm thinking about Kamala. This is what I'm talking about. I mean,
okay, so you would like to see a different VP pick, because we got something in the system, Karina, and I apologize. We're heading into a hard break here. The system accounts for but not saying that it's going to happen, but if President Joe Biden were to not make it through a full second term, there is a system in place. We have the line of succession for a reason, and he wouldn't be the first president to have the line of succession be needed. But appreciate the phone call, Karina. We got Dan Schaefer, the recombobulation area, coming up next. Want to hear your thoughts still. 844-967-2789 here on Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. There's mixed reaction to President Biden's big re-election announcement today. CBS's Jennifer DePinto.
There isn't a lot of excitement about a Biden re-election bid right now. Moore said they would feel more acceptance rather than excitement about him running again.
Mr. Biden is 80 years old, and if he wins, he'd be the oldest man to serve as president.
But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day.
Singer, actor, and activist Harry Belafonte died today at 96. He spent decades topping the charts and blazing trails for civil rights. Starting Thursday, the state of Missouri is banning gender-affirming care to all transgender people. Attorney Kara Engelhart.
This so-called emergency rule relies on debunked and unsupportable claims that are misleading and just make a mockery of the term evidence-based science.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Mississippi River is rising in La Crosse. It's over 15 and a half feet, and forecasters expect it to get over 16 feet by Thursday. At least three city parks are closed. Wisconsin Assembly Republicans are trying again today to require people on Badger Care Plus to renew their status with the state every 6 months instead of automatically re-enrolling. In sports, the Packers and Jets have a trade agreement for Aaron Rodgers. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst says they had to get it done before the NFL draft.
We've been working on this for a while, and to get beyond the draft, I think would have been tough for both teams.
The two teams are swapping first-round picks and making other conditional moves. Also, the Bucks face playoff elimination after last night's loss to Miami. The Brewers fell to Detroit. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
All I can see are blurs of red and yellow. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can take us with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded on your smart devices. Just search Civic Media in the Apple or Google Play stores and jump from station to station once that app is downloaded and take us with you wherever you go. And we are joined now on a Tuesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how are we doing on this Tuesday?
We're hanging in there, Luke. Not having the best day after that Milwaukee Bucks collapse last night, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah, we'll save more of our comments and criticisms of the game coming up a little bit later, but definitely a little bit more on edge myself today too. So trying to make it through all of these headlines and the tangents and just all of those. But folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. One of the other things, Dan, that really I think has led to me being on edge today is the yesterday our senior senator here in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, was at an event held at the Milwaukee Press Club. And for a really long time now, we've been getting this response from Ron Johnson. It's his attempt, I believe, to avoid the question that he gets faced of where he comes down on, now that the Dobbs decision came out last summer, his stance on abortion. And he very much threaded a needle last November in his attempt for a third, as his successful attempt for a third term to the U.S. Senate, of how the state of Wisconsin should really address abortion now that it has been left up to the states. And since last fall, Ron Johnson has continued to use a imaginary tool, because that's what it is. It's a suggestion of, oh, well, we should give the voters of Wisconsin a one time only, no takebacks, one time referendum of where they stand on abortion. And it's a very vague suggestion, and it's also a suggestion with no teeth, because Wisconsin voters, through referendum, cannot pass a binding resolution on the first attempt. We just don't have that in our state constitution. It is not a way to make legislation here in Wisconsin. Would love to hear your thoughts on the senior senator from Wisconsin's comments yesterday at the Milwaukee Press Club event.
Yeah, I think, you know, Johnson, like many Republicans, doesn't have a good answer on how they would want states or the government in general to proceed on abortion rights. Republicans over and over again on this issue since Roe v. Wade was overturned last year have proven to be the dog that caught the car. Now that they got their wish of having Roe v. Wade overturned, they don't really know what to do at the state level. They're realizing that their positions on this issue are deeply unpopular, and that Roe was kind of the middle ground in national politics. But I think what Johnson's comments yesterday and what the headlines and stories from that event have suggested is that, you know, I think the response to this is a real indictment of the local and state and local political media landscape in Wisconsin that refuses to cover these comments from Johnson critically or accurately, because he is proposing something that is not currently legal in Wisconsin. It would be great if we had statewide ballot referenda in Wisconsin. We could put Medicaid on there. We could put marijuana on there. We could put all sorts of different things that bring issues directly to the voters and get through the gridlock and obstruction of our extreme partisan gerrymandered state legislature. But we don't have that. Tony Evers proposed a solution last year to address that in a special session, and the legislature gaveled in and gaveled out. So we don't have that as an option here. So what Senator Johnson continues to propose is something that is not legal in the Wisconsin state constitution. And so, but nevertheless, we still have all of these headlines saying Johnson wants a referendum on abortion. Wisconsin doesn't have referendums like this. Other states do. So so it gets really confusing. You know, Wisconsin has had referendums on certain issues. We just had the, you know, kind of cash bail related state constitutional amendment questions that were on the ballot last fall. And we have, you know, all these different referenda, you know, at the state and local level. But the policy that Johnson is proposing here is not real. So it's just wish casting, and it's not a serious policy proposal. And I think the Wisconsin political press is doing a disservice to readers and listeners and watchers throughout Wisconsin, because they're saying the AP story yesterday, I'll just use that as an example,
yeah,
which picked up nationally, because Ron Johnson is a figure that has his words get picked up nationally. So the headline was, Senator Ron Johnson renews call for Wisconsin abortion vote. In the fourth sentence of that story, Scott Bauer of the AP wrote, Wisconsin law does not allow for citizens to place such a question on the ballot. So why are we covering this like it's a serious thing?
Yeah.
If the media is just the facts and we're calling balls and strikes here, they would shut this idea down because it's not a serious idea. It has no path forward, but it sounds nice. It sounds nice to say, hey, let's let the voters decide. But that's not a realistic thing. And when when Governor Evers did propose a pathway to let the voters decide, using Ron Johnson's words in his call for that special session, legislative Republicans gaveled in and out, and Ron Johnson opposed it.
And Ron Johnson said,
so what are we doing as a political press in Wisconsin in covering this issue the way that we are?
Yes.
You look, you know, do a quick Google search and search Ron Johnson abortion, and you click the news tab, and it's all these headlines saying that this referendum thing is something that he's proposing, which sounds nice.
Yeah.
But it isn't a real thing.
It seems like it's, oh, well.
It is a problem of the press here.
It seems like the Wisconsin.
Like a fiddle again.
Yes. It seems like the Wisconsin voters just aren't simply bringing this ballot referendum. Oh, the senator's trying to propose a solution, but it's just not happening. It's not his fault. He threw his ideas out there. And last fall, when Tony Evers called Senator Johnson to his bluff, said, fine, I will send that to the legislature and I will say, give us a one-time the ability to make this referendum happen. Ron Johnson then said Tony Evers was playing politics with how to react to this. And so, yes, Ron Johnson is, I think, skating by with this type of response to this question. But it seems to me that either there's no will there to actually follow up and include that in the headlines, senator calls for something that doesn't exist, or what? It could have more weight than simply the fourth sentence in the piece. But how do you believe we get to that point? Because to me, it seems like these institutions, Ron Johnson's not going anywhere. He just got elected to a third term. He's going to be in office for another 5 years. This is the way I feel like Senator Johnson has been covered for a lot of different things. He got the benefit of the doubt of just asking questions throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And all of those just asking questions got the same treatment as his response to abortion. So I don't know if there is a way that the Wisconsin local statewide press is going to pick up a different response to how the senator is acting, because they haven't done it yet over the last 13 years since he's been in public life.
Yeah. And I do, you know, I generally hesitate to criticize the political press in Wisconsin because I think most of them do a really good job. I think we have a lot of good, you know, political reporters in Madison covering the Capitol, around the state covering lots of different issues. I think Gannett has, you know, and their cuts to papers across the state has decimated reporters' ability to really, and certain news outlets' ability to really provide robust political coverage in ways that reaches all corners of the state of Wisconsin. I think most of the time, I think people are doing a really good job with the resources that they have. But this is a miss. This is a miss by Wisconsin's political press in covering these statements the way that they are. And the fact that, you know, it's happening at the Milwaukee Press Club and they can't like look themselves in the mirror and realize that they are doing a disservice to their readers and listeners and viewers. Like, it's a real problem. Like, if I you know, I propose a hypothetical here. Senator Melissa Agard from Madison is on this tour right now promoting legalizing marijuana, mm-hmm. right? So if she were to go out and have a press conference or in interviews, say, let's have a statewide referendum on marijuana legalization. Let's see where the voters lie. Would the political press cover it similarly, saying Democratic leader proposes a referendum? Or would they say that's not a realistic thing? You can't propose that. I think it's an interesting thought experiment because I feel like, you know, I feel like it would probably get shouted down.
Yeah. I have a feeling that would be met, and rightfully so, because when you call for a solution that truly isn't a solution, I think that should be pointed out, because that's not actually solving problems, which is what we elect these individuals to do. We elect them to make legislation, in the case of the Wisconsin legislature and the U.S. Senate and Congress, to go and solve these problems with actual tangible results. And saying this is the solution voters should take when it's not actually a solution or an avenue that they can go down, I think that's disingenuous, and I believe it needs to be pointed out as well. And here on Dueling Tangents, I don't have a problem pointing out when I think Senator Ron Johnson's being disingenuous, but it is a little frustrating to see that it's that there is some hesitancy there when it comes to how this story gets covered in other outlets.
Yeah, and I think it's a real point of frustration because because Ron Johnson likes to play these games with the press. We know he admitted, you know, last year in recording that he lies to the press.
The exact quote, Dan.
And the press responds to that by inviting him to their events.
Yes.
And quoting him accurately in a way that he is, you know, totally distorting the way that the political process works in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes. Senator Ron Johnson said that he'll say whatever he needs to get the press off of his back. That was the quote that he had when leaving the U.S. Capitol last year in regards to questions being asked of him about his involvement in the fraudulent elector scheme to try to hand off Wisconsin and Michigan's 10 and 16 fraudulent electoral votes on the day of January 6th, or the days leading up to January 6th. And so for a U.S. senator to have that response and then still get a pretty glossy treatment of a non-answer being talked up as if it's an answer is pretty frustrating. But it seems as well, Dan, that there are other topics that this happens on. It's not just exclusively Ron Johnson. Republicans here in Wisconsin are floating their possible ideas for tax reforms coming up in the upcoming biennial budget. We have an historic $7 billion surplus right now in this state, and it seems like Republicans want to use it for tax cuts, but they refuse to refer to it as a flat tax, Dan. And I think the flat tax is getting a pretty glossy treatment as well, because that's what it is. They want to cut down the different filing levels to be one flat tax. What number they're going to settle on is still to be determined, whether 3.25% or 4.5%. But we only got a little bit of time here. We can continue on the other side of the break. Your initial thoughts on how the flat tax is being talked about as well, Dan?
I think I think there is a little bit better of a conversation around this. I think there, you know, people do recognize that a flat tax ultimately would mean that is a massive tax cut for the wealthiest Wisconsinites. And I think, you know, we've seen that in nonpartisan reports like from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We've seen that in all sorts of different ways. It is a deeply unpopular policy position to cut taxes on the wealthy. You know, I think that was, if you look back at Trump's time as president, like his lowest approval rating came after he passed his big, ridiculous tax cut for the wealthy.
Yeah.
It's not a popular point, and I don't think it's popular in Wisconsin. So,
yeah. And former President Donald Trump was able to do that with the assistance of Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. We got one more segment left in this Tuesday afternoon. If you want to share your tangents with us, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear them, because otherwise it's just going to be some rants about the Milwaukee Bucks. And maybe you'll want to hear those too, maybe you won't, but stay tuned. We're going to talk about the Bucks and some more Wisconsin headlines when Dueling Tangents gets back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Low is around 30. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 33. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can call, text, or tweet at us at Dueling Tangents. Joined right now by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, we didn't even mention it last segment, but if listeners out there are hearing you for the first time or like, I want to get some more of these political takes from Dan, how can I learn more? Where can they find you and the Recombobulation Area?
Well, Luke, you can find me at the recombobulationarea.substack.com. You can find me on Twitter, Dan R. Schaefer. You can find the Recombobulation Area on Instagram at the Recombobulation Area. And if you want to support the work that we're doing at the Recombobulation Area, covering news and politics in a fresh new way on Wisconsin and Milwaukee, subscribe. Got a lot of growth and subscribers these last couple months, and we want that to continue.
Yeah.
So just $5 a month to get started. We'll have a deal here and there. You know, we had one on Milwaukee Day. We might have one this summer on our anniversary. We might have one in Thanksgiving. Those are typically the times that we've had those. But it's really not that big of a financial burden to support us month to month either way. Just $5 a month to support some local media in the fine state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and continue on that great work. And you and I both on Twitter still, even though it's had better days, but outside of the political realm that you can follow on Twitter, there's also a lot of sports. It's a great place. Athletes, sports journalists, a lot of different talking points, and just being able to follow the individual people and the conversations around sports. Twitter's a great place for that as well. And we've got some changes happening here in the sports world in Wisconsin. Yesterday, after we got off the air, it was something that I know a lot of people were talking. Rogers Watch 2023, however you want to call it. I wasn't focused on it a whole lot. I was lulled into a false sense of security with my Milwaukee Bucks cheering them on. And therefore didn't have to really focus on the whole Rogers saga. I had a feeling that a trade was imminent. This week is the NFL draft coming up, first round on Thursday of this week. So I had a feeling it would get done before then, but shortly after we jumped off the air yesterday, news broke. Aaron Rodgers officially getting traded to the New York Jets. Your thoughts on the four-time MVP quarterback leaving Green Bay in Wisconsin?
Luke, did you know that Brett Favre was also traded to the Jets after a long time with the Green Bay Packers in his career? Wow, history repeating itself. I'm sure I'm the first one to point this out this week as Aaron Rodgers is traded to New York. No, but I think this seems like a pretty good conclusion to a very long, drawn-out saga. You know, I talked about this on when I hosted Asgo's Wisconsin. I think that was the last time there was some Rodgers news in the mix about him. I did a segment with Paul Noonan, and it was happening simultaneous to Aaron Rodgers' appearance on Pat McAfee when he was saying that he wanted to be traded. So, as I said then, and I continue to think now, the Packers aren't currently constructed a Super Bowl team. They have some real needs up and down the roster. And it doesn't really make sense to have a 39-year-old quarterback who you're paying $50 million a year to if you're not a Super Bowl contender. Like, it made sense these last couple of years to pay him the money to make those runs the way that they did. But, you know, they came up short, didn't work out. And at some point, you got to move on. You got to see what you got with Jordan Love. And, you know, I'm more excited now for the Packers than I have been for the past few years, because I felt like the Packers were just locked into this cycle of being able to win a bad division against the Bears, Vikings, and Lions, who are all terrible and not good enough to compete for a Super Bowl. And just end up having these like catastrophic playoff losses every season. And now we're out of that cycle, right? We're out of that same cycle that we've seen over and over and over again for years with Rodgers. And now there's, you know, I'm excited to see what Jordan Love's going to do. I'm excited to see what the Packers do in the draft this week with those extra picks that they picked up in the trade. I'm excited for this team in a way that I haven't been in quite a while.
Yeah, the last 2 years were pretty interesting with the off the field drama. The nail in the coffin for me with Rodgers and his time as a Packer was refusing to sit to heal a broken thumb. To me, it doesn't make any sense why last season he was playing through an injury when the entire reason they drafted Jordan Love was as an insurance policy on the 4-time MVP quarterback. When Love was drafted, he was only a 3-time MVP or 2-time even. I think both those, yeah, both the back-to-back ones Love was drafted before those. So the fact that Love was an insurance plan that then everybody refused to actually use last year while Rodgers was not 100% was very frustrating to me. And I hope that we don't have this cycle here in Wisconsin that the Packers won in 2011, and then it took another 10 years for us to get another professional championship here to Wisconsin with the Milwaukee Bucks winning in 2021. I really hope, Dan, that we don't have to wait another 10 years beyond that one for us to say have the Brewers or the Packers bring something home in 2031. But the Milwaukee Bucks not looking like their regular season selves this playoff series. And yes, Giannis has been out. Your thoughts, as brief as you'd like to make them on last night's, I'm going to refer to it as an implosion because that's what it was in my opinion. But their inability to tie up the series 2 games apiece with the Heat and now facing the brink of elimination, as everybody's talking about, facing the brink of elimination down 3-1 against the Heat before they come back to Milwaukee tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a catastrophic loss last night in Miami. They gave up 30 points in six minutes. I mean, just an absolute disaster of a defensive performance down the stretch, and a bunch of turnovers, and it's just a, you know, I had a tweet from earlier this year where I said this team really vacillates between being an unstoppable basketball machine and being a team that briefly forgets how to play basketball. And they had one of their stretches last night where they briefly forgot how to play basketball. Jrue Holiday was turning the ball over. The defense was leaving shooters wide open. And it was just a really, really bad situation. And now they're down 3-1 to a Miami Heat team that has played really well. And Jimmy Butler has played amazing. So credit to him for that. But, you know, at this point, I'm not really expecting the Bucks to come back and win this series. And I think it's going to be, at this point, I just want them to win in Milwaukee tomorrow night. So the season doesn't end at home in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
At least push it to 6 games so they can, you know, give themselves a chance to get themselves a Game 7 at home. But losing tomorrow night would just absolutely be devastating.
Yeah, that's what they, I think, truly need to avoid. Hopefully they can pull it out in 7, but we'll see. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, really appreciate you joining me this Tuesday afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.
Thank you.
the Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.